More than 5 million Americans have Alzheimer's disease or another form of dementia, according to the Alzheimer's Association. And by mid-century, that number is expected to triple because of the aging of the baby boomers and signs that dementia is occurring more often in younger people.
Here in Wisconsin, our State Department of Health and Human Services estimates that about 115,000 Wisconsinites currently are living with dementia. That creates a need for a large number of caregivers who are often family members. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss created the Speaker's Task Force on Alzheimer's and Dementia in August of last year. That bipartisan group just announced that they will pursue fast-tracked approval of a package of 10 bills aimed at providing support for people living with dementia and especially for their caregivers.
Joining us right now to talk about that effort is Republican Representative Todd Novak of Dodgeville, who serves on the task force. Representative Novak, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, this is a group of bills which is aimed at addressing the crisis of caring for people with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. What is the scope of those bills?
The scope of the bills, there's 10 bills, actually, that came out of the committee. The task force held hearings all across the state and listened to people who, from caregivers to employers to a variety of dementia care specialists who had their own stories to tell. And so these bills are kind of related to what we heard on the task force and kind of specific to what we thought was important and narrowed down to 10 different areas.
Well, from those listening sessions, what kind of picture emerged about the state of Alzheimer's care in Wisconsin?
I think that the what emerged to me, is I think one thing that really struck me is the struggle that caregivers go through, and how important it is to give them the support they need. And also, it's very important to have your county ADRCs that are well versed in dementia and Alzheimer's issues. My piece of the 10 bills actually deals with the dementia care specialists and how important they are to people. I think that's just important to have that network for people to have, and I think that's an important issue that I took out of this.
What do we know about who's caring for people with Alzheimer's and dementia right now in the state?
Well, what I'm hearing and what we heard is, the caregiver is usually the loved one, the family member, and it gets to a point where, the caregiver themselves are wearing out trying to take care of their loved one, because realistically, no one wants to put someone in a facility unless they absolutely have to. So caregivers are giving it their all. So we need that support network for caregivers to have, to give them a break, to give them the help they need and to the where they need to go.
So you're mentioning respite care for caregivers who might be exhausted. Is there also training that they could use to help them better care for the people in their lives who have dementia?
Yeah, there is a training available, and this is where the dementia care specialists that work with the Aging and Disability Resource Centers come in. That's what they're there for. They have the knowledge and the resources to support individuals with dementia and their families, and also to make dementia friendly communities, to work with businesses, employers. That's the key to what dementia care specialists do, and my bill actually adds 4 more dementia care specialists into the mix in the rural areas.
Well, what do we know about the people who are living with dementia in Wisconsin? How many are there right now?
I'm not sure of the very specific, the exact number. I do know that the task force actually took a virtual dementia tour, which is they put you in an environment where you actually live like a person with dementia. You wear glasses and that distort, and you have white noise in the background, and you're given instructions on how to do things. And it was very an eye-opening experience for everybody on the task force that took this virtual dementia tour to know what it was like to live with as someone who has Alzheimer's dementia. It was only 30 minutes the tour. And it was an experience that really struck all of us. In fact, one of the bills that is came out of the task force is to fund the virtual dementia tour to get for the order to instruct the DHS Department of Health and Human Services to appropriate money to buy licenses for these tours, because it's just quite an experience. It gives you a whole different perspective.
Yeah, I didn't know there was such a thing as that. What else did you come away with besides the funding that these tours are valuable? How else did it change your thinking?
It just changed my thinking. You know, everybody on the task force has some connection to somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia, and that's why we were a great group, bipartisan group. And, you know, we came out of this room, and it's like, you know, some of us felt bad because we lost our patients with somebody that had Alzheimer's or dementia. But after this tour, we realized, oh, wow, you know, this is what's happening to my loved one or something. This is why they are the way they are. And it was just an eye-opening experience for all of us, and really put things in a different perspective. I can't even describe it unless you actually go through it.
We're talking right now with Todd Novak, a Republican from Dodgeville. He represents Assembly District 51, and he's joining us now to talk about a new package of bills aimed at helping caregivers for people with dementia. And in terms of the 10 bills and this group of bills, what is the plan for them? Will they be rolled out simultaneously, or are there higher priorities on the list and lower priorities?
Well, actually, it was perfect timing, because they actually have been introduced. And I was in Madison today. The Assembly Mental Health Committee heard these bills, the testimony on these bills today, and I'm fortunate enough to sit on the committee. So we're on the fast track with them. So we've already had our first committee hearing on them this morning. And I'm thinking they'll probably come out of committee maybe next week. So I would expect these bills to see the assembly floor very shortly, definitely in February, at one of the February sessions. There's a lot of support for these bills, a lot of, you know, it's bipartisan across the board.
And we have heard just recently that the budget outlook for the state is less robust than had been hoped. Do you expect that to affect these bills?
Possibly. You know, I think the total price tag on all these bills is around $2 million, which in my mind, yes, seems like a lot of money, but it isn't, because the long-range picture for me is that for $2 million, we can get a great return on investment. Not, I shouldn't say investment, but you know what I'm saying? It's actually going to save the state money in the long run. By investing $2 million in these bills and these programs that we want to do, in the long run, we'll actually save money. And I think that's important.
Representative Novak, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been great to be on.
That was Todd Novak, a Republican from Dodgeville, from Assembly District 51. He joined us there to talk about a new group of bills aimed at helping caregivers for people with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Coming up, we'll continue talking about support and resources for caregivers with an aging home and family expert for AARP. We just heard about a package of bills getting bipartisan support at the Wisconsin State Capitol that would provide support for Alzheimer's caregivers. Of course, there are many people who are already caring for loved ones living with dementia, and it can be a real challenge to take care of yourself while caring for another.
Joining us now with some advice for maintaining your own physical and emotional health while acting as a caregiver is Amy Goyer. She's an aging home and family expert for AARP, and she's the author of Juggling Work and Caregiving. Amy, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thank you. Glad to be with you.
Well, let's start off by talking about what we mean when we talk about that role of caregiver. How do you define that?
Well, it can be a really wide role, a variety of roles, but we talk in generally about people who are caring for loved ones who are friends, family, or neighbors. We know there's about 40 million family caregivers in the U.S., and we know that, you know, a large number of people are caring for people with dementia or other forms of Alzheimer's. And I myself am caring for my dad, who lives with me. He's 92 and has Alzheimer's disease.
What kinds of particular challenges are you facing, Amy, and other caregivers? What kinds of challenges do they face that might be different from someone who wasn't struggling specifically with dementia or Alzheimer's?
You know, we talk about caregiving a lot of times in terms of the intensity of the experience. And the more time that you spend caring for someone, of course, the more harder it is, and it's harder to take care of ourselves. And we know that caring for someone with dementia is very intense. They tend to need more care, more constant care. I know my dad can't be alone for, you know, 5 seconds. He really needs to be one-on-one care all of the time. And that's very intensive. It's very emotionally draining to see someone that you love changing so drastically. And it's also very physically draining just to provide the care. As the disease progresses, it really is a lot of physical care as well as, you know, the mental cognitive capabilities changing so much. And it's a very long haul. That's the other piece of it. It's a long, gradual descent. And we know that, usually at least 10 years does someone need some sort of care when they have Alzheimer's. And that's like, you know, I say it's like running a marathon and you don't know where the end is.
We just spoke with Representative Novak, who was talking about some of the bills, which included bills that would address the need for respite care. What kind of respite care would be helpful, the most helpful for people who are caregivers like you just described?
You know, getting a break is the most important thing when you are a caregiver. And respite, that's essentially what respite care is. It's a break from caregiving. And it means that someone else is taking care of your loved ones during that time. So it may be that you have someone come in and just be with your loved one so you can get out and go to a doctor's appointments. I think, you know, self-care really is the greatest need. Sometimes it's just sleep, that, you know, I can take a nap or I can sleep during the night while someone is taking care of my dad or looking out for him. We know that caregivers tend to put their own doctor's appointments at the bottom of the list as well. So many times we need respite care so that we can go out and do our own doctor's appointments or do the grocery shopping or any number of things.
And is there any kind of training that would help people who are caring for a loved one but may not have any sort of particular expertise about dementia? Is there any sort of help along those lines that could be rendered?
I always recommend that people contact the local Alzheimer's Association chapter because they tend to have good workshops and trainings and conferences. There are a lot of great videos online now as well. As caregivers, we're often isolated. It's hard to get away and go to an actual training, but we can watch some videos online, and there's everything from how to communicate with those who have Alzheimer's to providing direct hands-on care. One of the greatest things, greatest tools is music. I am trained as a music therapist myself, and I use music a lot throughout my career and with my dad now. And, you know, just some simple kind of training on how to structure the day, how to help communicate with people, the basics of and knowing what to expect is really helpful for those who are caregiving for those with Alzheimer's.
We're speaking with Amy Goyer right now, an aging home and family expert for AARP. She's also the author of Juggling Work and Caregiving. And let's talk about that work aspect of it. If someone has a family member that they're caring for with dementia, how do they hold down a job and make money?
It's tough. I work full time, and I think you put together a package of caregiving. It's sort of like putting together a jigsaw puzzle. We piece it. I have some paid caregivers who take care of my dad when I'm working. He's a veteran, and he has respite care from the Veterans Affairs, and that's very helpful. We have family members who step in at different times, but we know that, 60% of caregivers work at some point while they're caregiving, so this is a really important issue. And we need to think about the fact that if caregivers can't work, how are we going to contribute that financial support for those we're caring for? So the more respite care and programs of that sort that are in place, the better we are able to juggle life, work, and caregiving.
And you mentioned the isolation that can be a part of this picture. Are there caregiver support groups that are easily accessible across Wisconsin?
Yes, there are many in-person caregiver support groups. Again, contact that Alzheimer's Association or your local area agency on aging. And you can go to www.eldercare.gov and put in your zip code and find where your local area agency on aging is. They tend to have lists of support groups. I know a lot of us, people are like me who are working and caregiving, it's hard to get to an in-person support group. So there are things online that are helpful. AARP has an online community where you can post questions and interact with other caregivers. We also have a great resource center, Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. And again, the Alzheimer's Association has online groups. Many other organizations have online support. I think social media is even very helful. I know that being able to connect with some, there are Facebook groups. I'm in one called Memory People that I can, you know, communicate with other people using a medium that I'm used to because I use Facebook. I just participated in a Twitter chat today. It's called Alz Chat, ALZCHAT, hashtag Alz Chat, and we were talking about communicating with people with dementia, and there are all kinds of helpful hints. So I think in this current day and age, we have to have multiple ways to get support to those who are caregiving.
I imagine that reaching out for help would be one of the biggest hurdles, or could be, for people who are caring for someone to admit that you're tired and you can't take it anymore and you need a break. How do you help people get over that initial hurdle and ask for the help that they need?
I look at it this way. I don't expect my car to run without gas, but I seem to expect myself to run without filling my own tank, and that's not reasonable. And, you know, I say taking care of ourselves is not a selfish act. It's actually very practical. I can't, you know, if I'm not taking care of myself and getting breaks and getting the help that I need, I'm not really able to be a good caregiver. So it's a very practical thing. Many of us feel like emotionally we should be able to do this. I want to take care of my loved one. I want to be with them every minute. They're more comfortable with me, so therefore I can't, you know, ask someone else to be taking care of them. But this is a very practical issue, and asking for help is not shameful in any way. It's actually the right thing to do.
And Amy, what can friends and family, maybe coworkers, do if they're near someone who may need help but hasn't asked for it? What could they do?
You know, I think listening to a caregiver is really important, first of all, because sometimes they're very hesitant to share, you know, the struggles that they're going through, especially at work, because they feel like they need to leave their personal life at home. So just encouraging them to know that you're open and that you're there for them and can hear. And then, you know, really trying to get an idea of what's on their to-do list. AARP has an initiative right now called Random Acts of Kindness for Caregivers. And you can go online at aarp.org/caregiverkindness and just submit some of the nice things you're doing for caregivers. And there's actually a contest where there's going to be some cash prizes at the end. But the idea is to get people to do those little things. And it may be taking care of their yard or going to the grocery store for them or taking care of sitting with their loved ones so they can get a break. It may be really practical things, too, like sorting the mail. That's something that really helps me a lot. Ask them what's on their to-do list. See if you can run some errands for them.
And Amy, we leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. And folks can actually text 97779 if they want to have some ongoing support from me and AARP. Sometimes texting is the easiest way to get out.
That was Amy Goyer, an aging home and family expert for AARP and the author of Juggling Work and Caregiving.